Take your Bibles and turn to, well, actually what we're going to do, eventually we're going to get to the book of Exodus. And I asked Brother Caleb, he's going to hand out actually two different sheets. One, I actually don't want you to pay much attention to. It mentions 20 different ways or different ideas to teach your children to respect. And what it does, and you'll probably look at it even though I've asked you not to, but anyway, what it does is it really where your heart of your child should be and a goal to try to get them to where they're in that idea of honoring you and respecting you. As I promised, I love teaching on the family. I love preaching on the family. When I was in Bible college, they had for a few years a family conference, and they would invite preachers in. You remember that, brother? When they invite preachers in to preach just on the family. And, of course, I was in the throes of trying to be a godly father, and I didn't have, I mean, the parents I had, I thought were good parents, and but they, in all honesty, they weren't saved, and so they did the best they could, and I, in many ways, defaulted many times back on what I grew up with. And so when I was getting training and teaching on the family, I couldn't get enough of it, and mainly because I was very concerned about my children growing up not the way I did, not knowing the Lord. I wanted them to know the Lord. I wanted them to serve the Lord. And I say that not because in a sense that what I did was right. As I said last week, a lot of what I did wasn't biblical in raising my kids, but one thing I did have is I had a great big heart to want to do it right, and to be honest with you, you're not going to get it all, and that's why you need, I think, teaching and training on it, because like I said last week, I think we kind of neglect that end of it, because in the New Testament there's not a lot of teaching basically on parenting, but there is lots of it in the Old Testament. And so I really believe that if we neglect, and I'm enthusiastic about reading some of the, especially we're going to look at some of this tonight out of the book of Deuteronomy, and what the Bible does teach about training children. And listen, this is what you teach your children, and how you train them will be what they default to a lot of times when they're raising your grandchildren, okay? And so you're not just doing it for your children. You're going to be doing it that posterity for maybe generations to come. And so it's very important that we really get this right. We really got to work at this, and we really got to see what the Bible has to teach about that. Now, we're going to be in the book of Exodus, but before we go there, I just want to take you just for an instance, let's look in Matthew chapter 22, and we're going to the only place we're going to be in the New Testament tonight, but I want you to see the Lord himself, and it's mentioned in three of the four Gospels, and it's taken from the Old Testament, and because really, I think about it, that's the Bible that the world had at that point. And in Matthew chapter number 22, and look down with me, and starting in verse number 37, Matthew chapter 22, and verse number 37, and we're going to read through verse 40. The Bible says, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt, well, he asked, and I guess just to get in context, verse 36, they came to him asking, what's the great commandment in the law? In verse 36. Verse 37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Remember, he's making a statement here. And notice what he says, and the second is likened in it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And he says in the last verse 40, he says, on these two commandments, what's it say? Hangs all the law and the prophets. So these two commandments, if you could take the first five commandments, deal with our relationship with our Heavenly Father. The first four commandments deal with our relationship to our Heavenly Father. The last six deal in the horizontal relationship with each other. And so he's saying that this is comprises of all the law and the prophets. So we want to get this right, is that we're to love the Lord thy God with all of our heart, all of our soul, and with all of our mind. And another the gospel, it says with all of our strength. And so there's that idea. So in looking at that, keeping that in mind, I want us to look in the book of Deuteronomy. And I want you to look at, this is what that was, that's all they had at this point. And this is what they were, Deuteronomy. And just to give you a little bit of a backdrop, you may know this. This is Moses writing, and he was actually dealing, and you think about it, the children of Israel, Deuteronomy chapter number 6 is where I'm going to start, is this is what they had as they were getting ready to enter the promised land. He is giving them a kind of a, from the get-go when they were in Egypt all the way up until they were right now. Now think with me. They weren't giving this to the generation that came out of Egypt. Remember that. Remember their 40 years they dwelt in the old wilderness. So he's dealing actually with the next, probably the third generation, okay? Because all those individuals died in the wilderness. All the people that seen all the miracles and all the things that he did and the crossing of the Red Sea and all those, the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, they seen that. But not this generation, okay? So we're going to look at that. But I want you to look at the references that in light of what we read out of the New Testament, in Deuteronomy chapter number 6, he says in verse number 4, he says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord, and thou shalt what? Love the Lord thy God with what? All thine heart." With all thy soul and with all what? All thy might. That means there's got to be a lot of, when you think about it, who could ever do that? Let's just be honest with ourselves. Who could always put that much energy, all that force into it? Let's, with that in mind, that's what the idea is, the just shall live by what? Faith. It means it's going to, for you to keep that commandment means that you're going to have whose help? The Lord himself. He's going to have to intervene in your life. Look at Deuteronomy chapter number 11. Just the repetition of this is what I want you to see. Deuteronomy chapter number 11, verse number 1. He says, "Therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep his charge and his statutes and his judgments and his commandments always." Look in verse number 13. Same chapter. "It shall come to pass that thou wilt hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord thy God and to serve him with what? All your heart and with all your soul." Look at verse number 22, same chapter. Verse 22. Well, let's start back in verse 19. And it says, verse 18. It says, "Therefore thou shalt lay up these words in thine heart and in thy soul, and bind them for a sign upon thine hand, that they may be frontlets between thine eyes. And ye shall teach them to your children, and speak of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon thine gates, that thy days may be multiplied in the days of your children in the land which the Lord thy God sware unto your fathers to give unto them as the days of heaven upon the earth. For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments, which I command you to do them, to love the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways," and look at that last phrase, "and to cleave unto him." That means you're hanging on, right? I can't do this without you, God. And you're raising your kids, you think about, I need who? I need the Lord. And that ought to be what you're communicating to your children, is that we can't do this, kids. We need the Lord's help. We need the grace of God. We need the goodness of God. We can't accomplish this without Him. We're not done yet, folks. Look in Deuteronomy chapter number 19. Deuteronomy chapter number 19. In verse number 9. And he says, if thou shalt keep all these commandments and do them which I command thee this day, to love the Lord thy God and to walk ever in his ways, then shalt thou add three cities or more for thee besides these three. I'm not finished yet. Deuteronomy chapter 30. You say, Pastor, you're being a little redundant. No, I'm not being redundant. The Lord is. Deuteronomy chapter number 30. We're going to start in verse 5. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 5. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it, and he will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart. Notice what it says. And the heart of thy, what? Seed. To love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou may livest. Verse number 20. Same, actually number 19, and then we'll read verse 20. It says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and what? Thy seed may live. Thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy what? Life and length of days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord thy sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. One more. But it's going to be in Joshua this time, one book over. Joshua chapter 22. This is as the tribes had done some conquering in the new land, and he's sending the tribe of the Gadites and the Reubenites and the half-tribe of Manasseh back to their land. As he sends them back, he's giving them a little bit of a warning, I guess you should say it. He says, verse number 5, he says, well, look at verse 4. He says, but now the Lord thy God hath given rest unto your brethren, as he promised them. Therefore now return ye, and get ye into your tents, and unto the land of your possession, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side of the Jordan. But no, what's he repeating here? Verse number 5. But take diligent heed to do the commandments and the law which Moses, thy servant, the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God and to walk in all of his ways and to keep his commandments and to cleave unto him and to serve him, what? With all your hearts and with all your souls. So we have in the Old Testament, we see it's mentioned, as we read in Matthew chapter number 22, but it's also mentioned in Luke, it's also mentioned in Mark, the importance that this he places upon the commandments. And you say, why the commandments? Because if you'll remember, when Jesus went down through the Beatitudes and he says, thou, you know that the Bible says, thou shalt not kill. But he says, if you're angry at your brother without a cause, you what? You've committed murder in your heart. He says, thou shalt not commit adultery, but I say unto thee, what? If a man look upon a what? A woman to lust. You say they had gotten, you say, well, they knew the commandments, but they really didn't know the commandments, did they? This was not a new teaching. This was something that they had lost, and because of it, you can see the way Israel went. And if you follow, we are going through the book of Judges, and that's painful, to watch all the times that they within one generation, they would be doing the right thing, going the right way. And within one generation, what happened? They'd go serve idols. That quickly. You know, we're only one generation from doing the same thing here. It really is. It's dependent on you if we're going to see our children, and I believe not just our children, but our children's children, if we're going to see them serve God, then we've got to go back and say, well, what's wrong? We've got to be honest with ourselves. There's something missing. When we see time after time after time again, and I've got enough gray hair that I can attest to this, that Christian homes are losing their children. How many would say they've seen that happen? And not just once. It's repeated and it's repeated and it's repeated. And my philosophy is this, and I think it backs up with the Bible. If we see that happening over and over, then we need to say, what are we doing wrong? What are we missing? Why is this happening? Was I just a terrible parent, or am I an exception to the rule? We know Proverbs 22:6. What? Train them up in the way they should go, right? Our responsibility is to train them. And so if we go back and we look and you say, well, what was God's plan to see this heritage go on from generation to generation? He says they need to know the commandments. And not just a superficial way. We need to know them intimately, and our children need to know them intimately. So when we look at Exodus, and if you take your Bibles and turn there, Exodus chapter number 20, Genesis, Exodus, the second book in your Bible, Genesis, Exodus chapter number 20, we're going to look at some of the, I think, what we miss. Exodus chapter number 20. Let's just take a little time and look at each one of these verses as he gives this commandments to the first time, to that first generation, the ones that were going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. First of all, he says in verse number 1, he says what? He says, and the Lord spake all these words saying. You say, well, do we take that lightly? I think sometimes we do. The Lord spake these words. It wasn't just Moses. God gave him, he says, and the Lord spake these words. You say, what does that mean? We've got to understand that God speaks to us through his word. We've got to tell our children, listen, if we're going to hear from God, we've got to know his word inside and out. If we're going to love him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our strength, then we've got to go back and say, what does God command us to do? God's going to speak to us, kids. That's why we have personal devotions. That's why we should have family devotions. That's why we get up on Sunday morning, and this is part of my idea of memorizing Scripture, is that we can be half-hearted about it. And at this point, let's be honest with you, where are we at with memorizing Scripture? We all on board with it? Are we? Let's be honest, are we? No, we're not. We could do a lot better. And if we're going to study to show ourselves approved, if we're going to see the kind of heart with what was preached this morning, where we're not thinking about ourselves, we're thinking about obeying God. What's God want us to do as a church? What's he want us to do as individuals? What's he want our children to do? What's the expectation God has for them? And so you think of the next verse, he says in verse number 2, he says what? I am the Lord thy God which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. He says, listen, I'm the one that he's talking, and when we read this in Deuteronomy chapter number 5, which is a repetition of the Ten Commandments there, what's he saying? Why would he put the Ten Commandments in two different places? Because, listen, you guys didn't get it the first time. I want you to get it this time. The idea being there is that the only possibility of doing right is with God's help. They would have never got out of the land of Egypt without God's help. They cried and said, "What? God, help us. We're in bondage. They're mistreating us. They're abusing us." And God reached down and sent a deliverer called Moses. And so when we go, when he enters these two commandments, I think we got to look at these commandments and say, these aren't just, you know, we like them when they're put up in the public place, and we like it when we see the commandments, but no, it's got to be deeper than that. What does the commandments mean for us as individuals? Why is it then important that we need to teach our children those commandments? What's behind those commandments that can help them? First of all, he says this in verse number, let's pray and then we'll ask the Lord to bless as we go forward. Father, we thank you. And Lord, we want to get this right. There's no greater hurt than to see our children not walking in truth. And Father, that have been captivated by something else but you. Lord, an awesome God that deserves all of our life, all of our love, all of our attention. That somehow, Father, we're not even to be able to pass that on to our children. And Lord, how would we expect our grandchildren to get it? So we ask you, Father, to give us the grace to pursue this in a way, Father, that the way that would make for real results, to love you the way that we're supposed to and serve you the way that we're supposed to. Lord, that it might be a testament to our children and it might be that they could teach it to their children. In Jesus' name, amen. So commandment number one, and if you're in your Bible to Exodus chapter number 20, first of all, he says, thou shalt not have any other gods before me. That commandment is, I think, the primary commandment. It's number one commandment. It's that there should be no, first of all, there should be no, number one, it's, if you're filling in the blanks, I left you all with blanks. So number one, it's faith. You teach them the faith that comes from God who speaks through his word. Number two, we teach them that the only possible way of doing right is with God's help. And number three, that commandment number one, teach that there should not be a greater person in their life but God. There should not be a greater person in their life than God. Not even you, Mom and Dad, except that you've been given the responsibility to train from the Lord. Not only that, that training takes on a lot of different, but I think one of the greatest examples, and you'll see this, is that you are the example. I love to watch. When Pastor was not a pastor and he was my son, he wanted to do everything Dad did. You know what I'm talking about? If Dad was out, I wasn't saved. Dad was out working without a shirt on, he had to have his shirt off too. If I had a hammer, he had to have a hammer. Matter of fact, he pounded a lot of nails in my driveway. All right. Now, I didn't teach him that, but he took that on his own. But he wanted to do whatever I was doing. And how many of you know what I've seen that your children do that? They want to do what you, they will emulate you. Good and bad. Right? They will pick, and you know what? Sometimes they emulate the bad a lot quicker than they emulate the good. And so what's important to you will be important to them. And so you teach them there's no greater person, and that has to be not only in the instruction, but it has to be the example that you give them. If you look at the book of Psalms, chapter number 82, if you'll turn your Bibles there, Psalm 82. Psalm chapter number 82, just to reinforce, he says, in verse number 6, Have I said, ye are gods, and all you are children of the Most High? You are a little God. And we want our children to serve who? The God. God of heaven and earth, the one that created him, So we're not going to have any other person more important than the Lord Himself. Commandment number two, in Exodus chapter number 20, He says, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or the likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I am the Lord thy God, and am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers." Notice what happens, not just one generation of iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. What does that mean? When we say we're not going to have any other gods before me, and that we're not going to make any images, the idea of images is what? If we don't give the true meaning of who God is, and the way we live, and the way we practice our daily lives, and what we do, they're going to create a god. They're going to create their own image of who God is. And it's going to be either incomplete or incorrect. So the Bible ignorance is to create the imagination of God, one that's not right. The only way they're going to get it correct is if you and I teach them who God truly is, how He works in our homes, and how He works in our church, and how He works in those difficult situations. If you have a problem in your home, and we do, right? How many say we got issues, right? Things that happen. What's your response? Come on, what's the response? What's the first thing out of your mouth? Praise to God or complaint? God's got this, or I don't know what we're going to do. We're going to worry, we're going to stew, we're going to talk about it, we're going to get emotional and angry about it. What image are you showing of who God is? You're creating an image of God that's not right. What do you think your kids will remember? What will they remember? Will they remember you say, "Well, this is what happened, kids. Let's get together and let's pray about this. Let's stop what we're doing right now. Let's ask God to help us with this. I don't know the answer. I don't know how God's going to fix this." Somebody gets sick in your home, or somebody gets sick in your, what do you do? You say, is it all talk? Or is it say, "Children, let's sit down and let's pray about it." How many of you ever said, "Well, we'll pray about that"? Somebody has "I'll pray about it." You know, when you say that, it ought to be you stop what you're doing and you stop right now and you start praying for that individual. You want God to intervene. So you teach them that if you're Bible ignorant, it's to create an imagination that these are incorrect. So we teach by our own actions. Our actions, what's that old saying? Actions speak louder than words. Over and over again. Let your actions show your love for God. Let your actions show who God really is. It's not incorrect and it's not incomplete. Priorities of life and the purpose that the Lord has, first place. God has first place in our life. We teach by our actions. Secondly, we teach God is not what? What's the Bible say? God is not mocked. What does that mean? It means, I'm getting by with this. We're getting by with not having family devotions. We're getting by with not having personal devotions. We're getting by with missing church once in a while. We're getting by with not being involved in the work. We're getting by with not memorizing the scriptures. Are we getting by with it? He says He'd visit the iniquities of the fathers on what? The third and fourth generation. Let's finish that verse. It says, God is not mocked, that whatsoever man what? Soweth, that shall he also what? You don't mock God. This is serious business. He's a jealous God. And we teach our children that. Boy, you're not getting by with that. You know, this is one of the things I think we need to, and we'll get into this a little later, but we sometimes think that somehow we we can get by with not dealing with our young people when they need to be dealt with in one way or another, whatever God tells you, however he tells you to deal with it. I mean, you'd be very honest today that sometimes you allow your children to do something and get by with it with no recompense or reward. You haven't rewarded them for what they've done. And he said, well, most of the time I'm consistent. I mean, would say that. Most of the time I'm pretty consistent. Let's say you're consistent 9 out of 10 times. I've been right what I've been needed to do each and every time with my young person. And then one time you're just tired. You got home from work and it's just, and I mean, we're late for supper and they've done something. I need to really kind of deal with this one way or another. And you say, I'm not going to deal with it. Let me ask you, which time out of the 10 times will they remember? The 9 times that you did wrong, did right, or the one time that you didn't? Which one? That one time. In their mind, you said, well, I can remember. They won't say this out, but it just flashed through their mind. I can remember that one time I did this and nothing happened. So that, as long as there's that one time. If it's in their mind, you say, well, you know what? They think in their mind, you say, I every time I do this, I get in trouble. I get caught every time I do this. Right? And it goes through their mind real quick. They say, man, I'm not going to do this because I know if I do this, what? Yeah. So God does what? God is a faithful God, isn't he? And he's going to bring to mind, even when you're tired. Come on, Dad, Mom, remember what I'm talking about. Oh, I don't feel like dealing with this. And you say, you're going to raise your head up to the heavens and say, Lord, help me. I need to be faithful as Mom and Dad. That's who God is. That's what we're teaching them. So we teach not only by our actions, we teach that God will not be mocked by our indifference. In verse number 5, thou shalt not bow thyself down to serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Visiting iniquity of fathers upon the children of the third and fourth generation. So we want God to recognize that we're going to be faithful. Let her see. Teach God's will. Reward both in this life and the life to come. He said, how do you teach that? In verse number 6. Showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Why would God say showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me? If we were always doing right, right, would God have to show mercy? No, we don't always do right. And your children will not always do right. And you're going to have to say, when is the time I need to show grace and mercy? Right? There's a time for that, right? You catch it, and you get you say, well, I'm going to not deal with it the way I should. But you've been caught. And you've been warned. So by that idea, if we're going to teach God's who God is, we've got to know how to teach his commandments. Number 5, commandment number 3. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. So what is commandment? How do we teach that to our children? Teaching them faith or trust is the only way to please God. Every effort outside of faith is vain, and you will be properly what? Chastised. Properly chastised. You know, I really believe that if we're training our children, I believe that if it's going to be effective, it's going to be you praying for wisdom, because you're going to spend a quarter of your life doing what, Mom and Dad? For your children, you're going to spend 20 years at least teaching your children. There's every day has a purpose, every day has a plan, and you need God's help in every day to know just exactly God's mind on what he would have you to do. Because in essence, to teach them that we're not to take God's name in vain. What does that mean? We always think a lot when we think, oh, that person took God's name in vain. Always think of that, what? Taking and using God's name with a, as a curse word, right? That's always the first thing in my mind. But really, I think the greater part of that commandment is not that we take God's name in a curse way, but take God's name in vain, is that I represent in this world who? Who do we represent? The Lord Jesus Christ, right? We are called Christians, right? And so anytime we act outside of that testimony of who Christ is, we have done what? We've taken his name what? In vain. We've misrepresented who's the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is the first person that will see that in your home? Your children. You might be able to hide that from the folks you want to hide it from, but you'll never hide it from your children. And what do you want? You don't want to hide who God is from your children. You want to give a fair representation. Hey, if you fail, Mom and Dad, how many of you feel like you sometimes you failed your children one way or another? What should you do? Say it out loud, Nissa. Apologize. Say, you know what? Your dad made a mistake here. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have gotten angry like that. That wasn't God. Why? Because if you don't deal with that, then they're going to say, well, I guess it's all right to do that, and that's who God is. And you've taken God's name, what? In vain. You've misrepresented the Lord Jesus Christ to your children. I know when we think about memorizing and studying that it's hard work. But look at the results. What they witness in the home will be... How many of you feel at times like you default to the way you were raised? Right? I mean, this is just... That's normal. Well, that's all I know. I know how Mom and Dad did, and so you just automatically... That's the way you do it. Now, it ought to be that they have a testimony. This is the way God does it. This is the way Mom and Dad, as they followed God, this is the way they did it. Again, you give them an opportunity. Look at commandment number 4. Again, this is our relationship to our Heavenly Father. And it says what? It says, remember the Sabbath day and what? Keep it holy. Now, we are not Sabbath keepers here. Well, there is religions out there that teach you have to keep the Sabbath day. But what is the Sabbath? To teach the Sabbath was the hope for a what? Eternal rest. That was what God's plan. Listen, he gave us the Sabbath day to show us that there was going to be a Messiah come, one that was going to provide for them. And he gave that seventh day a day of rest. And so when we keep that eternal rest, that idea of the first day, what we do is the first day of the week, Sunday is the fulfillment of that hope. And the other 6 days, remember what the Bible says, 6 days shalt thou what? Labor. 6 days shalt thou labor, but one day is a day of what? A day of rest. We entered into that rest when the Lord Jesus Christ came and fulfilled that hope. And what do we do with the rest of the week? Oh, that's mine. Right? That's mine. I can do what I want. But the Lord's Day, that belongs to him. Is that true? No, every day belongs to God, don't it? And so when we think about it, what is it filled with? It ought to be with that idea that we are to serve him by working and serving others. So those other 6 days are days that we end up making ourselves, availing ourselves to the needs of other people. Training your children. If you look at the testimony of Abraham, when he came, and if you'll take your Bible and turn back there, I think we touched on this one the week before, but I'd like to mention it again. Genesis chapter number 18. Genesis chapter number 18. This is God going to Sodom, the three men. And the Bible says in verse 16, and the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And verse number 17, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? Now this is an interesting thought. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. That's a statement that he's making about Abraham. So he gives it the qualification. What does it say? For I what? Know him. That he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which is spoken of him. I like the phrase, what? I know him. What does God know about Abraham? Abraham's going to do right. Abraham's going to trust God. Abraham's going to live by faith. Abraham is going to have a walk with God. Number seven. This one here I probably could spend a lot of time on. He says in verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now, a lot of parents want to take this commandment and just put it in the lap of their children and say, you need to honor me. But our responsibility is to teach them to honor you. They're not going to come naturally to honor you. When you think about as he preached this morning on the idea of the fear of the Lord, that's a reverential respect in a sense. And so what you're teaching your children is that they are going to respect you, honor you. Now, how do you get a child to honor and respect you? Look at the things that I think it gives here. Teach them the value of authority. You are in authority. And so that authority, you must demand that respect. Now, I'm old-fashioned. Now, some of you are going to cringe in your seats when I tell you this. But I think your children ought to say, when you've told them something to do, they ought to say, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. What is that? What's that teaching them? You are in authority. It's teaching them that, yes, you have been given by God the responsibility to be their parent. And what you're doing is teaching and training them. And they ought to have an idea that I need to respect you. And that idea of saying, yes, ma'am, no ma'am, yes sir, no sir. That's old school, I know. Nobody does that anymore. But when I deal with my grandchildren, and they're small, and I'm trying to get them to see something and understand something, and I repeat it over, so go again, I want them to repeat it back to me. And then I want them to say, yes sir, yes sir, yes sir, yes sir. You say, why? Listen, I've said this last week, write it down, put it in your notes. If your children do not honor you, listen, they do not love you. Say it again. If they do not honor you, they do not love you, at least not the way God wants them to. And so when they show disrespect in any way, you have to demand that respect. You know, my mom was never saved. Not that I know of. My dad, as far as I know, was never saved. I witnessed to both of them. My father on his deathbed, and I witnessed my mom for many, many years. But you know one thing gave me was I always respected them. I honored what they said. Even if I didn't 100% agree with it, I honored what they said. How do you do that? Number A, by your God-ordained authority and your personal, listen to this, submission. Your personal submission to that same authority. If you want them to obey you and respect you, then they need to see you doing that as well. In your relationship to who? To God. It's going to be evident. Lord tells you to do something, you say, what? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Secondly, by your godly reputation of faith. It ought to be that your faith is something that they can see, tangible, substance of things hoped for. They see it. They see you doing things that you recognize that I need God's help. I need God's grace. 2 Timothy 1:5. Paul mentioned this about Timothy. He says, when I call to remembrance the unfaith faith that is in thee, notice what it says, which first dwelt in thy what? Grandmother Lois, and then thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded also to be what? Real faith. We can say we have faith. Real faith. God gets you to do things that are just not in your... How many done that? God puts you in a position where you're doing things that just not in your comfort zone. Right, Brother Allen? You were up here the other week. Was that in your comfort zone? That takes faith to do that. And he'd say, you can share that with your kids. Boy, I just didn't like... But God would have me to do this or be this way. Let me give you the last one. Thy godly reputation. Boy, if there's anything in parenting that's so necessary, it's faithfulness. If you want to see a successful parent, not a perfect parent, you want to see a successful parent, you'll see one that's very consistent. Very consistent. Your kids know you. They know how you're going to do things. Consistent. So what was the old idea of tonight? I'd ask you to write this maybe on the notes there that I didn't get a chance to put it in there for you. The training of your children comes with an understanding, an expectation of the Ten Commandments. Now, I've only given you five, and Lord willing, I'll get a chance to do the rest of them. But those commandments are something that they ought to understand the depth of those commandments. Because we already read. How many times did we read? Keep thy commandments. Keep thy commandments. What are the commandments? Well, there ought to be a clear understanding of what God's commandments are and how they can keep them. And how they can manage to love the Lord, make Him the only God in their life, to make Him the highest priority of life, to teach them there's no other greater person than that they shouldn't be ignorant of who God is. We need to memorize His Bible. And I'm encouraging the next week, let's, folks, mom and dad, if we pick up this memory verse for next week and we don't take it seriously, what are you teaching them? Yeah, it's something we're doing, but they pick up on that, right? But you say, kids, we're going to get this. I'm going to put some little treats out there bigger than the little basket down here, okay? And I'm going to encourage you all I can. I didn't do it perfect, nowhere near that as a dad. And my wife would attest that we made so many mistakes with the kids. But one thing I think God did bless is that I wanted it. I wanted to get it right. And I made a lot of mistakes, but I begged God, Lord, please have mercy on my children. Even if I fail, please do something, show me. You know, how many of you think if we beg God like that, and not just once, over and over, and say, God, please help me today. I'm going to make a mistake. God, I don't want to do this wrong. I want them to have the opportunity I've had. I want them to get it. You think God ignore that prayer? No. I encourage you dads especially. I would take the book of Deuteronomy. How many of you got phones, right? And I know you guys that are taking classes, you're going to be filled up already. I would just take that book of Deuteronomy and say, God, if it's in this book about how I can train up my children, you ought to put your headphones on, and when you go take a walk or whatever you do, or maybe you can plug it in somehow in your car while you're going, whatever you do, just listen to those chapters in the book of Deuteronomy. See if God won't show you how that you can have a home that God will bless. Amen? We're going to close with a word of prayer.